Greetings from Ariel, Israel. Staying in a really beautiful place. And it's called a settlement, but it's really a beautiful city of 30,000 people. All the houses are of white Jerusalem stone. It's very beautiful. And they have a little temple in here. And yesterday I did a nice program in Haifa. And a program in Tel Aviv. And I'm giving classes every day. Today's my last day. So I'll give two classes. So it's Prabhupada's mercy. You know, what is that? Okay. People can hear me. There's so much interference, but we'll try. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 4, Canto 9, Text 6. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Juva uvacha yonta pavishya mama vacha mimam prasuptam sanjivayat yakila shakti darasvadamna anyamscha hasta charana shravanat tagadim pranam namo bhagavate purushaya ptubhyam. Juva Maharaj said, my dear Lord, you are all powerful. After entering within me, you've enlivened all my sleeping senses. My hands, legs, ears, touch sensation, life force, and especially my power of speech. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksur Malitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadhantikam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Shindu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. So I guess when you skip a week, you kind of forget where you are. But Dhruva Maharaj performed his austerities. And he got Sakshad Darshan. And he saw that Krishna was before him. And he fell in front of him, drinking him with his eyes, kissing the feet of the Lord with his mouth, and embracing the Lord with his arms. And he's a small boy, and he wanted to offer prayers. And it was difficult, and out of his causeless mercy, the conch shell of Vishnu was touched to his head, and Dhruva became empowered. And was sp- speak perfectly. And now Dhruva Maharaj is responding in gratitude. Gratitude is the first budding consciousness of the soul. Bhakti is based on gratitude. Without gratitude, there's no love. Just like a child who is spoiled, even though his parents give him so much, he doesn't feel love. So, and you can't appreciate things if you have a sense of entitlement. Therefore, humility is so important in devotional service, because humility allows you to feel mercy. And the symptom of feeling mercy, which is God's love, is gratitude. So gratitude is the first budding of the soul. It's the first response of the soul in love and devotion. So devotees are very, very grateful. Because they value what God has given them. That's the qualification for bhakti, that you really deeply appreciate what you got. And if you appreciate what you got, then you don't dwell on all the difficulties we're undergoing. And why are we undergoing difficulties? Because we want to be the controller, and we're not. So therefore, things do not go our way, because we're not the controller. But someone who is humble. And therefore, there are difficulties in the world. Self-imposed difficulties. The difficulties are caused by our consciousness. Because we have an enjoying spirit. And we're not meant to enjoy. We're meant to be enjoyed. We're not the Purusha. We're Prakriti. Our happiness is in being enjoyed. In other words, our happiness is being the servant. And it's just like, if you're with Prabhupada, what is your happiness? Controlling Prabhupada or serving Prabhupada? So the first symptom of bhakti is we're grateful. And when you are grateful, Kirtaniya Sadahari, because you become fixed, not only in chanting always, but you become fixed in being grateful always. You become fixed in humility, you become fixed in tolerance, you become fixed in respect. And you feel mercy, and you feel grateful for mercy, and you reciprocate with mercy by seva. Therefore, in Bhakti Sandarbha, in the introduction, I'm not sure it's in the Bhakti Sandarbha itself, but maybe the introduction, says bhakti is best expressed in seva, which is loving responsiveness to the Lord through the faculty of the mind, body, and words. Loving responsiveness. You want to serve because you're grateful in a relationship with God. You're grateful for the mercy you have received. So Dhruva Maharaj has received mercy. But the mercy is not always what we think, because we don't know what is best for us. The things we wish for are generally the things that will cause us the most misery, which is a type of enjoyment that will detach us from the soul, which is the serving spirit. So Dhruva Maharaj is appreciating the power of that he of Vishnu, that he entered into him and empowered him, enlivened all his senses in service, especially empowering the power to speak. Now, Dhruva was a young child, but he was speaking the Vedas. But we also have the experience, Sarvasya Chaham, Hiri Sani Vishto, Matasmyatir Ganam, Apoanam Cha. We also have that experience . I think I'm still jet lagged after 7 days, and I think it's hitting me now, but I purposely stay jet lagged so that when I get back, my jet lag will be the regulation when I return to a busy schedule. So I may be a little spacey here and forget my thoughts, but so we all have that experience of God being in our heart and speaking through us and speaking beyond us. Sometimes we say things and we speak things, especially when we're sharing Krishna consciousness, and the clarity, logic, and organization of thoughts seems to be beyond what we're capable of by our own effort. And that's what mercy is. Mercy is undeserved kindness when you can achieve something above your ability to do so. So, Dhruva is experiencing that now, and he's offering his obeisances. He's feeling humble. When you get mercy, it means beyond what you deserve, so you reflect on what you do deserve and become humble. Mercy is a light of reality on our consciousness. When we receive kindness, it makes us admit what is our position. Otherwise, we won't recognize something as kindness. To recognize something as mercy or kindness, it has to be above what you deserve. So when you feel mercy, it helps you to understand exactly what you deserve and what your qualification is, if you're in the right consciousness.
1 second.
Yay. Okay. Saying yay because my seat came in and I do have an aisle seat. Anyway, it's another thing, but the thought of a 9-hour flight on LAL Airlines in the middle wasn't my... Okay. Anyway, this is just a nice thought. The humble person feels mercy and understands how much he needs mercy. And therefore he feels devotion in his heart, because he feels the kindness of the bestower of mercy. And realizing the gift that one is getting makes one even more humble and more appreciative and more devotional. Bhakti is loving responsiveness to the Lord. Purport. Dhruva Maharaj could understand very easily the difference between his condition before and after attaining spiritual realization and seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. So, pratyaksham bhagaman dharmam, that devotional improvement, it's a very interesting thing because it can be directly perceived. But that perception is a feeling of devotion. Devotion is a feeling of hunger for God. And as hunger makes you feel bereft of food, longing for God makes you feel bereft of God. So somehow or other, the devotional effect makes you feel, I don't have it. But somehow at the other sense, you can perceive it. You can directly perceive it. So Dhruva Maharaj is perceiving the change in him. He can understand that his life force and activities have been sleeping. Unless one comes to the spiritual platform, his bodily limbs, mind, and other facilities within the body are understood to be sleeping. You become spiritually enlivened. Advancement in spiritual life means that you see more and more of reality. You actually see what's there, and therefore you see God in the world. And as Prabhupada said, you become thrilled every moment. Unless one is spiritually situated, all his activities are taken as a dead man's activities or ghostly activities. So ghostly activities are, you're being moved, but not by your own volition. So one who comes to Krishna consciousness, he gets a mindfulness and an awareness and a thoughtfulness and a perception, a perceptiveness that wasn't there before, and an enlivenment in heart that wasn't there before. So spiritual life has this concept of awakening. Awakening. So Dhruva Maharaj felt this awakening. Even if you come to the mode of goodness, the symptom of the mode of goodness is clarity of perception and thought. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has composed a song in which he addresses himself, O living entity, get up. How long shall you sleep on the lap of Maya? Now you have the opportunity of possessing a human form of body. Now try to get up and realize yourself. The Vedas also declare, get up, get up. You have the opportunity, the boon of the human form of life. Now realize yourself. These are the Vedic injunctions. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Atato means now. And now just doesn't mean a unit of time. It means a hierarchy of time. In other words, there's time, there's now, but when now is also the culmination of something, that has more of a sense of ata, now. Now that you've been in so many species of life, now that you've wasted your life in material in the material world, species after species, universe after universe. Now that you've been through 8,400,000 species of life. Now that you've come to the human form of life. Now that you've been born in the era of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Now that you've been born during the time of Srila Prabhupada's life and his mission right after his departure from this world. What a boon, what a gift, what an opportunity. So the Vedas declare, now realize yourself. Don't waste it. Otherwise you become a kripana. A kripana is a miser. A miser has something that he does not use. Miser means you have a gift, you have a wealth that you do not use. So this human form of life is a great boon, it's a wealth. Artadam, Kumara Acharet Pragyo, Dharman Bhagavatani Ha, Dulabam Manasan Janmat, Tad Apyadruvam Artadam. It's adruvam. It's not eternal, but it's artadam. But it possesses great wealth. Dulabham manasa janma. It's rare. When you get something that's rare and you get something that's valuable, you should be cognizant of that and use it. So we have the ability to inquire and understand the self. Prabhupada called the mode of goodness the pensive platform, where you can make decisions for the better. So, this awakening of Dhruva Maharaj is analogous to the awakening of the soul in the human form of life, and not to waste it. Dhruva Maharaj actually experienced that upon enlightenment of his senses on the spiritual platform, he can understand the essence of Vedic instructions, that the Supreme Godhead is the Supreme Person. He is not impersonal. Dhruva Maharaj could understand this fact. It's a simple fact. God's a person. The definition of God, which I learned in my philosophy class in my sophomore, second year of college, is God is that being of which no greater can be conceived. So if your perception of God is just energy, it's not God, because there's a greater perception, there's a greater conception of energy which can talk, energy which can love, energy which has a form, energy which is beautiful, energy which has knowledge, energy which has strength, energy which has 64 qualities. I always love when that great Christian philosopher, contemporary philosopher, still alive, Alvin Plantinga, was challenged, is God a person? He said, God is not less than a person. So Dhruva Maharaj, it just makes so much sense, and Dhruva Maharaj realized this. He was aware that for a very long time he was practically sleeping, and he felt the impetus to glorify the Lord according to the Vedic conclusion. A mundane person cannot offer any prayer or glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he has no realization of the Vedic conclusion. So if you want to speak, you have to realize something. If you don't realize something, you won't be able to communicate it properly. Therefore, when Dhruva Maharaj found this different within himself, he can merely understand that it was because of the causeless mercy of the Lord. He offered obeisances to the Lord with great respect and reverence, completely understanding that the Lord's favor was upon him. This spiritual enlightenment of Dhruva Maharaj's senses and mind was due to the action of the internal potency. So there comes a time of perfection where we have enough of a service attitude that God can trust us with his loving potency that can control him, which is Sudurlabha, which is very difficult to obtain because it controls God. So God gives it, gives that energy. Bhakti is an energy that spiritualizes our consciousness. So our consciousness becomes one with that energy, like an iron and fire, but that energy is love of Krishna. So what's happening to Dhruva Maharaj is the liberation on the bhakti path. Muktir hitva yata rupam sarupena vivastita, that you become situated in your spiritual identity being watered, your consciousness being watered by the Lord's samvit, ladini shakti, by his internal potency. So Dhruva Maharaj can understand the difference, and that difference is also very humbling, because with that love of Godhead, samvit, the cognitive potency, with the cognitive potency, you actually perceive how God is everything. And you perceive your relative insignificance in relationship to God. In this verse, therefore, the word swadhamna means by spiritual energy. Spiritual enlightenment is possible by the mercy of the spiritual energy of the Lord. The chanting of a Hare Krishna mantra is first addressed to the spiritual energy of the Lord, Hare. This spiritual energy acts when a living entity fully surrenders and accepts his position as an eternal servitor. So it bhakti means anukulyena Krishna nushilanam. Your activities are intended to please Krishna. And Krishna's desire is carried in the hearts, Krishna's will is carried in the hearts of those that love him. So when you follow that and follow Krishna's desire, Krishna is responsive. It's like a connection, like a channel. You become connected when you fully surrender and accept your position as God's eternal servitor. You become connected. And it's responsive. And God's response is his internal energy. It's his loving potency. And it acts to enliven us with bhava, with true devotion. When a person places himself at the disposal or order of the Supreme Lord, that is called Sevan Mukhe. That time the spiritual energy gradually reveals the Lord to him. Sevan Mukhe. Mukhe means the face, directly facing God. Sevan, for service. When you directly, in consciousness, face God, and come to the realization of wanting to serve, and put your consciousness and your body in a position to serve. Pradyumna Prabhu, my godbrother, Prabhupada, Sanskrit Pandit, read one definition, or gave me one definition of bhakti, that bhakti means to make oneself available. And that's humility. Humility is the spirit to serve. And the happiness that there is something higher than you worthy of that service. And pride means the desire to control and enjoy, and unhappy that there may be something above you with more position and more qualities and more authority than yourself. So humility means the absence of this, the absence of that enjoying spirit, which is expressed in this strong desire to serve. Just like Prabhupada said, you know, what inspired him to spread Krishna consciousness in the West was reading a commentary on a verse by Vishwanath Chakravarti of the Gita. The commentary is by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, And the verse said, Vivasayat Mika Budhi Eke Ha Kuru Nandana, that one who is Krishna conscious is resolute in purpose. That's Sevan Mukhe. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, that means to accept the order of the spiritual master as your life and soul. Sevan Mukhe. You're there. You know, when you're there for someone, well, you're there for Guru and Krishna, and you're waiting for their direction, and you're available, and that's your consciousness, and it's not deviated anyplace else. And when that happens, and you become an instrument of the Lord's energy moves you for service. And that energy is his pleasure potency, the essence of which is Krishna praying. Without revelation by the spiritual energy, one is unable to offer prayers glorifying the Lord. If you're not a devotee, you can't glorify the Lord. You won't be empowered to do so as sure as anything. Because you'll have no realization, no feeling. So how can you create that in words? Any account of philosophical speculation or poetic expression by mundane persons is still considered to be the action and reaction of the material energy. When one is actually enlivened by the spiritual energy, all his senses become purified and he engages only in the service of the Lord. At that time, his hands, legs, ears, tongue, mind, genitals, everything engaged in the service of the Lord. Such an enlightened devotee no longer has any material activities, nor has he any interest in being materially engaged. You're available for service and God acts through you. And you have no time for anything else but service because you offered yourself on the in the fire of service. In the beginning, the senses are engaged by the direction of the spiritual master and the shastra. And after realization, when the same senses are purified, the engagement continues. The difference is, in the beginning, the senses are engaged in a mechanical way, but after realization, they're engaged in spiritual understanding. Next verse, 9-7. Ekas tvameva bhagavan idam atma shakya mayak yayoru gunaya mahar adyashesham shishtvanu vishya purishas tarasad guneshu naneva darushu vibha vasuvadivasi. My Lord, you are the Supreme One, but by your different energies, you appear differently in the spiritual and material worlds. You create the total energy of the material world by your external potency. And after creation, you enter into the material world as the Supersoul. You are the Supreme Person, and through the temporary modes of material nature, you create varieties of manifestation, just as fire entering into wood of different shapes burns brilliantly in different varieties. So God enters into the world as one thing, and like fire enters into wood of different shapes, the fire takes on different shapes. So here it says that God appears differently. In fact, I was reading in one purport that Prabhupada said that Krishna has a manifestation of mercy for every living entity, and we can see that in our own devotional career, the various ways in which we've been inspired devotionally. Purport, Dhruva Maharaj realized that the Supreme Absolute Truth, the personality of Godhead, acts through his different energies, not that he becomes void or impersonal and thus all-pervading. The Mayavadi philosopher thinks that the absolute truth being spread throughout the cosmic manifestation has no personal form. But here, Dhruva Maharaj, upon realization of the Vedic conclusions, says, you are spread all over the cosmic manifestation by your energy. Mayata tambi dam sarvam jagata vyakta murtina, that I pervade this whole world by my energy, but I'm not in them. I don't have the defect of impersonality. This energy is basically spiritual, but because it acts in the material world, it is called maya, or illusory potency, energy. In other words, for everyone but the devotee, the Lord acts as external energy. Dhruva Maharaj could understand this fact very nicely, and he can understand also that the energy and the energetic are one and the same. The energy cannot be separated from the energetic, so the material world is also spiritual in a sense that it's God's energy, and it's also an energy that's serving its source. The identity of the Supreme Personality of God in the feature of Paramatma or Supersoul is admitted herein. His original spiritual energy enlivens the material energy, and thus the dead body appears to have life force. Voidist philosophers think that under certain material conditions, the symptoms of life occur in the material body, but the fact is that the material body cannot act on its own. So this is things that Prabhupada said many, many times. He said, if you think that life is a product of matter, then from matter produce light. And I read something, a person said, you know, in 20 years, artificial intelligence will be human. It basically will have a soul. And he said it with such confidence. But Prabhupada didn't like the post-dated bank check. The life comes from life. Not life comes from matter. Voidist philosophers think that under certain material conditions, the symptoms of life occur in the material body. But the fact is, the material body cannot act on its own. Even a machine needs separate energy, electricity, steam, etc. It is stated in this verse that the material energy acts in varieties of material bodies. Just as fire burns in different woods according to the size and quality of the wood. In the case of the devotees, the same energy is transformed into spiritual energy. This is possible because the energy is original spiritual, not material. So God is controlling everything. And the material energy, the danger of the material energy, it manifests to facilitate you having a variety of experiences separate from God. But it's also God's energy. As much as the prison house, which you experience, will experience as oppressive, and an education institution, which we will express as, we will feel as liberating, will have a different effect. But they're still both government. So, in the same way, there may be material energy, there may be spiritual energy, but there's still energy. An energy, varieties of energy are coming from God. As it is said, Vishnu Shakti Pra Prokta, the original energy inspires the devotee, and thus he engages all his bodily limbs in the service of the Lord. The same energy as external potency engages the ordinary non-devotees in material activities for sense enjoyment. We should mark the difference between Maya and Swadhamna. For devotees, the Svadhamma acts, whereas in the case of non-devotees, the material Maya energy acts. I'm going to have to stop here. I think a little jet lag, but I can answer one or two questions if necessary. If someone could say hello, so I can know.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Someone's
Gopinath.
Chaitanya Priya here. Who else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
It's good to hear you.
Okay, yeah. Shradhanjali and Kalachandri. I don't know if I wrote you, but I'll write you soon how to link up. Because I'll also be leaving from Calcutta to Puri. But the easier way is if you arrive in Mumbai or Delhi, maybe Mumbai for a few days and rest, then you can get a direct flight to Bhubaneswar and we can pick you up. But I'll give you all the details.
Okay. Thanks. We'll be in.
Anybody else? Okay, we'll be in touch. Okay. Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna.
Tota Gopinath Das.
Hare Bo, Tota. Hare Bo. Good. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna.
I heard Gail's voice. Okay, who else?
Hare Krishna. Okay.
Gordon?
Yes, Maharaj. Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom. Yeah. It's really a shalom place. Very peaceful because even though it's a town of 30,000 people, there's only one way for cars to get in. They can't go through it. And then there's a road that, you know, cuts right through the West Bank and goes to Tel Aviv in about 45 minutes. And, yeah, wonderful programs. I think there's about 300 Russian devotees. Okay, I'll have to go because I'll have to take just a little rest. Thank you all. Hare Krishna. Chakalpa.